Well, hi, friends. Great to be back with you on the other side of Christmas. I feel like I'm in a bit of a time warp here. Due to the holiday weekend and our production schedule, I'm recording this message in 2020, but you're hearing it in 2021. So I'm not sure what that means exactly, but if something happens between now and then and I don't mention it, you'll know why. And if I make a joke and you don't get it, we'll just chalk it up to a break in the space-time continuum or something like that. Well, hey, if you're new to Grace Chapel, maybe you found us during the Christmas season, we're glad you're here. We're really excited about this new series and the chance we have to speak into some of the challenges we're facing, even as a new year gets underway. Well, the 1960s was a defining decade for the civil rights movement in our country, championed, of course, by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. There were significant gains for Black Americans in those years. The galvanizing March on Washington in 1963, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. But there were also terrible setbacks and losses. The firebombing of the Freedom Riders bus in 1961, the murder of three civil rights activists in Mississippi, a bloody Sunday in 1965 when peaceful protesters were beaten and tear-gassed on the bridge to Selma. Well, with this turbulent history behind and a long road still ahead, Dr. King offered up some profound words in a speech delivered in February of 1968. He said, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." Well, in eloquent fashion, King articulated two paradoxical truths regarding life in this world. Disappointment is inevitable, and hope is indispensable. Put another way, we can't live without experiencing disappointment, but neither can we live without holding on to hope. So as our teaching team brainstormed themes for this first series of the new year, we found our way to the word hope and to these words of Martin Luther King, Jr. As happy as we all are to be flipping the calendar to a new year, we realize that the problems of 2020 have followed us into 2021. COVID-19, economic hardship and uncertainty, political division, racial inequities, and concerns over the impact that all of this has on our emotional well-being and what it might mean for the next generation of Americans. We experience so many disappointments in 2020. Do we dare to believe that 2021 can be better? Do we have reasons to be hopeful as we look to the year and the years to come? Well, we went to the Gospel of Luke, as we've been doing since September, and we found that in his words and actions, Jesus confronts many of these disappointments and gives us reasons to hope again. So in the weeks to come, we're going to be talking about disappointments like anxiety and injustice, grief and loss, parental worry and loneliness. And beginning next week, we're hoping to follow up many of those messages with podcasts in the middle of the week that will dig a bit deeper into each of these topics, and maybe some pop-up groups focused on these topics. So it's going to be a rich season of learning and connecting, even beyond our Sunday experiences. So we're going to begin today by addressing the most obvious and universal disappointment of 2020, sickness. We have flipped the calendar, vaccines are on the way, but we are still facing a pandemic that has disrupted our lives and as of this moment has claimed the lives of nearly 2 million people worldwide. And COVID, of course, is just one of the many diseases and physical afflictions that threaten our health and our happiness. But do we have reasons to be hopeful in the face of sickness and all the disappointment that it brings? Well, let's go to a remarkable story in which Jesus confronts sickness of the worst kind. It's found in chapter 8 of Luke's gospel. Let's follow along as I begin reading in verse 40 of chapter 8. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. Now, the story takes place about midway into Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, he's gained notoriety at this point as a rabbi and as a healer. And in this section of his gospel, Luke has arranged four miracle stories in a row. First, Jesus calms a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Then he casts out demons from a possessed man living in the tombs. And now, in these next two stories, kind of intertwined, Jesus confronts sickness and disease and all the disappointment that it brings. So first, we meet a father distraught over his daughter's illness, which is threatening her life. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about parental anxiety later in the series, but we can certainly understand this man's concern. No doubt he's already turned to the normal remedies and to physicians, but they haven't worked. So he brings his disappointment to Jesus and asks for help. And we'll see that Jesus is moved by the man's plight, and he interrupts his journey to accompany the man to his house. But let's pick up the reading at verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. So here we meet a woman who has been dealing with sickness and its disappointments for a long time. For 12 years, she's been suffering with a bleeding disorder that not only threatens her health and limits her activity, it renders her ceremonially unclean, which isolates her even further from her community. Now, we're not told specifically, but we have to believe she has already missed out on many life experiences because of her illness. Anyone who's lived with a chronic health condition knows how restrictive and inconvenient it can be. It can limit a person's career path, their social life, their recreational activities. Sometimes it comes with a stigma that keeps people at a distance. It's interesting to notice that there's no mention of any family or friends standing with this woman, as if she's alone in the world. Disappointment can be defined as the gap between expectation and reality. When we expect or hope for something to happen and it doesn't, we're sad, and sometimes we're mad. When you expect your team to make the playoffs and they don't, you're disappointed. Patriot fans are trying to get used to that feeling. When you expect to get the job and you don't, when you expect your friend to call and they don't, you're disappointed. And the greater the gap between expectation and reality, the greater the disappointment. Well, COVID brought us all kinds of disappointments in 2020, didn't it? We expected to travel and to see friends and family for the holidays, and for the most part, we didn't. We expected to be back to school and work and church by now, and we're not. How many weddings and graduations and vacations were canceled last year? How many careers were put on hold? Sickness brings a lot of disappointment. not to mention the disappointment of just not feeling well, of being debilitated. Now, interestingly, Luke leaves out a detail that Mark includes in his reporting of this event. Mark tells us in chapter 5, "She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse." Now, Mark's gospel was probably written earlier than Luke's, so Luke would have had access to this information, but decided not to include it. Now, could it have had anything to do with the fact that Luke himself was a doctor, as we learned in our monologue a couple of weeks ago? Maybe he was reluctant to trace her disappointment to the failure of physicians to help her, or to broadcast how much money she'd spent on healthcare, only to be disappointed. But as every doctor and patient knows, there are limits to what medicine can do for us. COVID has taught us that, hasn't it? We expected science and government to figure this thing out, to kind of make it go away, but they couldn't. We expected masks and protocols and social distance to keep us safe, but they haven't always, have they? We expected friends and loved ones with COVID to get better. Some of them didn't. Sickness reveals how very finite we are, doesn't it? How limited we are, how vulnerable in the face of sickness and everything else that's wrong with this world. So when there's a gap between expectation and reality, it makes us sad and mad. And with so many disappointments associated with sickness and with COVID still surging, do we have reasons to be hopeful as we look to 2021? Let's keep reading. Verse 45. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone has touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." So in spite of the great crowd pressing on all sides, Jesus knows that someone has touched him. Now, the disciples don't understand. "Everyone's touched you, Jesus." But Jesus senses that power has gone out from him. Everyone in the helping professions knows something about this. Any caregiver knows that when you interact with someone in a personal helping way like this, it takes something out of you. You feel it. I mean, how many doctors and nurses and first responders are finding themselves exhausted these days? How many, we've seen it, have been brought to tears by all the hurting people that they've interacted with? Jesus knows that someone has touched him, but he also knows that someone isn't fully healed yet, that something more has to happen. So he calls her out. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Well, what prompted the woman to take this unusual approach to healing, sneaking up in a crowd like this? Did she feel unworthy of an important rabbi's attention, especially in comparison to the synagogue ruler that Jesus was already attending to? Was it embarrassment over her condition? Was she hedging her bets a bit, not wanting to be disappointed publicly again if Jesus couldn't help her? Whatever her reasons, she didn't want to call attention to herself. So why did Jesus call her out? to rebuke her for lack of faith, to scold her for sneaking up on him? Doesn't really sound like Jesus, does it? I think Jesus knew there was more going on with her than this physical malady. I think he knew the shame and the isolation and the other disappointments she'd been suffering along with her sickness. He wanted to heal her of all of it. He wanted her to know she was just as worthy of his attention as the powerful man he had just put on hold. He wanted her community to know that she was well and clean. He wanted everyone who heard of it to know that he had power, not only over sickness, but over all the disappointments that sickness brings with it. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, peace, of course, is shalom, wholeness and wellness in every part of our being and in all of our relationships. Well, stories like this raise all kinds of questions for us about healing, about prayer, about the role that faith plays in all of these things. And we've all heard people say things like, if you have enough faith, you'll be healed, or the one you're praying for will be healed. Well, let's think about that for a minute. How much faith did this woman have? I mean, you could say she had a lot, believing that all she had to do was touch his garment and be healed. Or you could say she only had a little, just enough for a secret, desperate grasp at Jesus' garment. Now, it's clear that faith played a role in her healing. Jesus says so. But what role faith played and how much faith she had, that's less clear. And that's how it is when you survey all the healing stories we find in the Gospels, and there are dozens of them. Some people have a lot of faith. Some people have a little faith. Some people seem to have no faith at all, but someone else has faith for them. And what is faith anyway? Well, faith is simply confidence in God. It's the belief that God can and will do something that only God can do, whether it's healing or some other kind of miracle. So we don't know how much faith this woman had, but she had enough to reach out to Jesus quietly, privately, in hopes he might be able to help her. And apparently, that's all the faith you need. Just enough to reach out to Jesus. I mean, didn't Jesus himself say that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains? That's not a lot of faith. So can we once and for all do away with this notion that if you have enough faith, you or someone you love will be healed? The only amount of faith you need is the amount it takes to reach out to God. Even if it's as humble as sneaking up in a crowd and touching his garment, or quietly whispering from a sick bed, "Help me, Lord." Now, does that mean every time we reach out in faith, we'll be healed? Of course not. We know from experience that's not the case. We've all prayed for people who haven't been healed, even when we've prayed with great faith. Now, many of the people we pray for are healed, whether through medicine or miracle or both. In fact, I think it's safe to say that most people we pray for are healed one way or another. I mean, isn't that true? Most of the time, people recover from illness and injury. God has designed our bodies to repair themselves, to fight off disease. God's provided us with science and medicine and technology that can help our bodies heal. And sometimes God intervenes dramatically and supernaturally to bring about a healing. We don't always know what brings about a particular healing, do we? Was it the medication? Was it a miracle? Was it our body's natural recovery mechanism? Was it some combination of the above? We don't always know exactly, do we? Any physician will tell you there's a mystery to healing. And any believer will tell you there's a mystery to faith. But experience tells us that most of the time we're healed of our diseases and afflictions one way or another. Let's not forget that, even in the face of this pandemic. Do you know what the recovery rate is from COVID-19? It's somewhere between 97 and 99%. Most of the time, God heals us. Either by the way he's designed our bodies, by the skills and technologies God's made available to us, or by God's direct intervention. Most of the time, we're healed. And so we have reasons to be hopeful. But we're not always healed, are we? Sometimes, in spite of self-care and medication and fervent faith, healing doesn't come. And that was true even on Jesus' watch. Sometimes even Jesus couldn't or didn't heal, even when people had faith. Now, we don't have time to read or look at the whole rest of this story, but it turns out that while Jesus was taking time to heal and minister to this woman, Jairus' daughter died. Luke tells us that while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Well, talk about disappointment. Talk about the gap between expectation and reality. Here, this upstanding religious man reaches out to Jesus in faith. Jesus says that he wants to help, and he's making his way to heal the little girl. Everything seems to be working the way it's supposed to work, the way we expect it to work when we pray. But then something happens. There's a disruption. Jesus gets distracted, it seems. Too much time passes, it seems, and the little girl is gone. Not to talk about disappointment. It doesn't get any deeper than this. But we know that's how it goes sometimes with sickness. That's how it's gone for nearly 2 million people who have died from COVID-19. Most of those people received medical help. Many of those people, I'm sure, were prayed for. But they still died. And we don't always know why. Any physician will tell you there's a mystery about healing. But that doesn't mean we don't get medical help. And any believer will tell you there's a mystery about faith. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray and be hopeful. Because most of the time, one way or another, God can and will make us well in this life. But not always, right? So what happens when we don't get well? When sickness or injury or age finally catch up with us, as it will with all of us? Well, even then, it turns out we have reasons to hope. Because God can and will heal us in the life to come. Again, we don't have time to get to the whole rest of the story here, but spoiler alert, it's not over yet for Jairus and his daughter. Now she really has died. The mourners are already on the scene. But Jesus is about to demonstrate his power over our last and greatest disappointment, death. And before this awful day is done, This little girl and her parents will be having supper together, healed and happy on the other side of death. And that hope can be ours through faith in Christ. What God did for that little girl and her grieving family, God will one day do for all who turn to him in faith. Now, we'll talk more about grief and loss in a few weeks. But enough for now to remind ourselves that even when we're not healed in this life, and there will come a point for all of us when we will not be healed in this life, even then, God can and will heal us in the life to come as we turn to Christ in faith with as little or as much faith as we have in the moment. Don't be afraid, Jesus said to Jairus when he got the bad news. Just believe and she will be healed. And she was. Not in the way or time that Jairus expected, but she was healed, and not just from sickness, but from death itself. So now we know why Luke has arranged these four stories this way. He is demonstrating for us that Christ has power and authority over all the things that can come against us in this life, all the finite forces that conspire to disappoint us. On the Sea of Galilee, he demonstrated his power and authority over the fallen forces of nature. In the haunted tombs across the lake, he demonstrated his power and authority over the demonic forces at work sometimes in the human heart. In response to a debilitating illness, he demonstrated his power over physical afflictions that rob us of health. And then, in a home racked by the worst kind of grief, he demonstrates his power and authority over death itself. And so we have reasons to be hopeful, even in the face of a global pandemic, because Scripture and experience tell us that God can and does heal, often in this life and ultimately in the life to come. And friends, I just want to tell you, I've seen this personally. I've seen God heal people, many people, most people, over a lifetime of praying for people who are sick. Now most of the time, they are healed through medicine. And how grateful we are for the knowledge and the skills, the science, the technology, the medication and therapies that God has granted and that humans have acquired to help bring about healing. How grateful we are for those who are serving us in the medical field, in all of its aspects, especially these days, as they put their own lives and well-being at risk. Most of the time, God heals through medicine. But I have also seen God heal miraculously and inexplicably. Personally, I have seen blind eyes made to see. I've seen tumors disappear. I've seen infertility overcome. I've seen devastating injuries restored. God can and does heal in this life. And when healing doesn't come in this life, I've seen God grant courage and strength and meaning and peace to those who are passing on and to those who are left behind, knowing that they will be well and together again someday through faith in Christ. So yes, we can have hope in the face of sickness, knowing that God can and does heal, often in this life and ultimately in the life to come. And what does that mean for us, practically speaking, in a time of coronavirus? Well, it means we take care of the bodies God has given us. We eat well, we sleep enough, Can we get exercise? And in this time of pandemic, we wear masks and we work from home and we do church online so that our bodies do what they were designed to do, to fight off sickness and to repair themselves. It means we take full advantage of modern medicine. We get tested when we need to. We go to the doctor when we need to. And when a safe and effective vaccine becomes available to us, we take it. I know I will. And it means that we pray. We turn to God with however much or little faith we have. We pray for God to protect us when we're well. We pray for God to heal us when we're sick. And when it becomes clear that healing is not going to come in this life, we pray for strength and comfort and meaning and peace, knowing that ultimate healing awaits us and those we love in the life to come through faith in Christ. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. 2 months after speaking those words, Martin Luther King was speaking again, this time at a church in Memphis, rallying people for a peaceful protest. And this is what he said. "We have some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." Less than 24 hours later, he was assassinated on a balcony in that same city. Now, King was able to speak those words and live them because of his faith in the God we meet in the scripture, revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. King didn't have perfect faith, none of us do, but he had enough faith. Enough to believe that the disappointments of life are finite, limited, bounded. There's only so much they can do to us. But hope is infinite, as unlimited and as unbounded as the power and purposes of God himself. A God who can and does heal, often in this life and ultimately in the life to come. Well, I'd like to lead us in a prayer now as we close out our time and come before the Lord in this time of sickness. So would you bow with me as we pray? We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life, for the minds and bodies you have given us that allow us to work and play and learn and love. Those of us who are well, ask that you protect us, Lord, from this virus and all the illness and afflictions that can rob us of health and strength. We pray for those who are sick today, Lord, that you might grant healing to their bodies as they rest and take care of themselves and as they seek and find the medical care they need to get better. We pray for those who are offering that care, that you might protect them and grant them courage, strength, and skill for these demanding days. We thank you for the vaccines that are being discovered and released and pray that they might be effective in bringing an end to this pandemic. We pray, Lord, for those who are walking in the shadow of death these days, who are facing severe illness, or who have lost loved ones, that you might grant comfort and courage and strength and peace. We thank you, Lord, that we can reach out to you in all the experiences of life, in times of health and sickness, joy and sadness, and find you to be a God who is near and powerful and good, a God in whom we find infinite hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for being with us today. If you have a health concern or any concern and you'd like some prayer or support, please reach out to us. Send me an email at brian@grace.org and we'll be glad to follow up with you. Well, let's take a few moments now and think on these things as we listen to this next song. And then we'll be able to gather together at the communion table.